Good morning. Happy Resurrection Day. Today is a glorious day because we are celebrating that our Savior has risen. Hallelujah. Our Redeemer lives. And I know that today our Easter celebrations are a little bit different than we planned or had hoped for. But the message of the empty tomb is still alive and well, and it's cause for us to have great celebration. So we want you to know that we miss you terribly and we love you dearly, and we look forward to when we can come together and have a big celebration to celebrate all that our Savior has done. So I hope that today that you take some time to remember the wonderful gift that Jesus has given us and all that he continues to give us. And even though we are apart, let's join our hearts together and worship the Lord together.
I'm alive. Christ is risen. Jesus showed himself to his disciples and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Would you pray with me, please? Worthy, worthy, worthy are you, Lord God Almighty. Your creation sings of your glorious praises. The whole earth bows to you. We are all in awe of the work of your mighty hand. You are worthy above all what we could humanly offer you. Yet in your immense love for us, you sacrificed your Son, so that we may be redeemed, so we could have life when there was death. The veil was torn and your creation was reunited with you. Today we rejoice because our Savior has risen, death has been defeated, and the power of hell cannot stand against your people. Hallelujah! Praise be to you, our God. We will raise your banner high and shout your praises, for our God saves. The tomb is empty and our Redeemer lives. Let all of us sing our praises to you, lifting your name on high, so the whole world will know that our God reigns. Now let us rejoice together in the prayer that our risen Savior has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today our reading comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told him that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Response to the reading and hearing of God's word. Now we'll have a prayer of confession. Small group here will pray this aloud, and those listening, just pray along in your hearts. Let us confess our sins. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Heavenly Father, your good news, your gospel keeps astounding us. It's your grace. You are a gracious God. Just when we are sure that we are down and counted out, maybe even some feeling unloved, you then renew us with breathing room and time. You tell us that you forgive us and you remember our sins no more. Thanks be to you, God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Mary Magdalene, she went to the tomb early on that first day of the week. And the text reads, while it was still dark. Mary had been with Jesus all along. You know, a couple years. She witnessed lives made new, bodies healed, eyes opened. Her own demons were cast out, 7 of them. She was set free. Mary stood under the cross at his crucifixion. Her heart was broken. And now it was all over. She may have just been thinking, the least I can do is anoint his body with spices for a proper burial. Her heart was heavy, and in her soul it was still dark. The darkness encroaching upon her again, maybe. That empty, lonely feeling of despair has been widespread, hasn't it, over this pandemic. A lot of people can understand that feeling of despair. An evil disease causing destruction, death, financial collapse, but panic and fear. When will this dark night break forth into daylight? You know, we've lost most of all of our regular activities. Much has been taken from us. You know, the social distancing, I guess that's a good idea for now. How long, oh Lord, how long? But maybe it's felt a bit like it's over. The end, we're done. No school till the fall, camps may be canceled, come on. Let's get back to church. But we know that feeling. It's over. How much longer will this eclipse of the sun overshadow us? What do we do now? Well, sadness, disappointment, emptiness had been Mary's companion since Friday. It had been a good 3-year run. It's like, wow, but now it's over. We all have our days, our seasons, when our hopes and dreams collapse. You know, there's children that go astray. Marriages end. Pink slips are handed out. A lot of that going on. Worse still, that test comes back from the lab as positive. Some realize that they've been running away from God, have never believed that God could ever love them, or that He would ever have enough forgiveness and mercy for them. All this happens to good people. It happens to those who haven't been so good. Why me, Lord? It's affecting everybody. My life, our life was going so well, and now this darkness. Well, it's easy to believe in the sunlight, isn't it? But very hard to believe in the darkness and when the tough times come. It's easy to believe when life is good and the good outweighs the bad, but then all of a sudden there's more and more bad that's mounting up. And our natural inclination is to feel rejected or guilty or, you know, what did I do? What did we do? We find out that our faith is weak. It's centered on a crisis and not in God's promises. Anyone can walk in the sunshine, but only the faithful can walk in the dark. In fact, if you have blood running through your veins, you will have some darkness. No one has all sunshine. Isn't it true that all sunshine, all that produces is a desert, not a garden? So a close examination of our text reveals something helpful. When it was dark, God was at work in Mary's behalf. He was making a way where there was no way. When things get tough, and they will, it doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. When the darkness comes upon you, God is still working in your behalf. Mary didn't leave Jesus. She didn't deny him. She remained faithful to him while waiting for the sunlight. Winston Churchill, he was invited to speak to a boys' school in England during the most difficult days of World War II. And his speech simply said these words, "Never give up." Never give up. Never. 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 And after that, he sat down. The simple speech was recorded in the papers, and it became the mantra for the British people during the darkest days of the war. Hear the Easter proclamation. Rejoice, heavenly powers, sing choirs of angels, exalt all creation around God's throne. Jesus Christ, our King, is risen. Sound the trumpet of salvation. Rejoice, O earth, in shining splendor, radiant in the brightness of our King. Christ has conquered. Glory fills you. Darkness vanishes forever. Rejoice, O church, exult in glory. The risen Savior shines upon you. Let this place resound with joy, echoing the mighty song of all God's people. Amen. But I know that there's heartache. There's heartache in every pew, in every home, and most suffer in silence. No one is immune to heartache, rich or poor. We all carry our burdens around. But the Christian faith has no life apart from the resurrection. You may be in the darkness this morning, but don't feel alone. You have not been forsaken. God's light has broken in. And the mention of darkness in this account in the gospel is part of John's approach to show that the resurrection is the greater light breaking in upon the darkness of this present world. So when Mary arrives at the tomb, much to her distress, she finds that it empty, believes that the body has been removed, it's been taken. She runs to the disciples with this disturbing news. But Peter and the other disciple, the beloved, we know that's John. They have a foot race to the tomb, and John stops at the entrance. He peeks in and he sees the linens. And then he lets Peter go in. He barges in to assess. Yeah, the tomb was empty. There's no response from Peter. He just goes home. Maybe he's still smarting over his denials, his unfaithfulness. Jesus will appear to him later that day, though. But when the beloved disciple John, he looks in the tomb, he saw and he believed. That's the early church. That's the Easter faith. We see, we believe. But Mary, she's the focus here. Still weeping. She sees two angels. They were sitting where Jesus' body had been laid, one at the head, one at the foot. She's not frightened. And Jesus suddenly appears behind her. She sees the object of her concern, the one whose body she thought was missing, but she does not recognize him. Jesus comes to her with great love and gentleness because of the resurrection. We need to realize that in our most difficult situations, God is working. He's working in our behalf, even if we don't know it at the time. Even when we may not recognize his presence. Even in the midst of this pandemic, he is working powerfully in your behalf. He is with us, and he will show it in powerful ways. He is working to bring light, to dispel your darkness, the darkness of the world, the darkness of any pandemic or any disease. His light is greater. When Mary recognizes who he is, she calls him by the name she used, Teacher. In her darkness, she is ministered to. I don't know if you heard the first prelude song, but In the Garden is based on Mary's story. He walks with me and he talks with me. He tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's a great line, but many do know his presence is with them. That joy, that presence, the Lord ministering to us. When we recognize his presence, that he is here. He's here right now in this church where it's being recorded. As you are listening, the Lord is present. And he is ministering to you. And as he ministered to Mary, her life goes in yet a different direction. Yes, she'd been delivered from demons, but now she is sent. She's an apostle. Go tell the brethren. She goes and tells them. What was she to proclaim? Well, that Jesus is alive. I've seen the Lord. He had been resurrected. Death had been defeated. The light has come. God and Jesus has conquered sin, death, and the devil. Jesus does tell her, tell them that I go to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. He had just told them a few days ago, you know, where I'm going, you cannot come. You cannot follow. But when I go, I will ask the Father to send you another advocate, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. I will not leave you often. I will come to you. And that's his promise that even though he's our ascended Lord, he's our soon and coming Lord and King, that his presence by the Holy Spirit is with us. He is with you today as you believe. God pierced their darkness, and he pierces ours. He not only ministers to Mary, he calls her to action. The dispelling of our darkness demands that we are to tell others, we have seen the Lord, we've experienced the Lord. Those who are in such panic and fear, don't laugh at them. Those who are wearing masks, they need to have their masks on. But tell them that you believe in a God that's greater than any disease. And point them to Psalm 91. But tell them that the Lord is alive at work in and through his followers. Christ is alive in us by the Holy Spirit. You can have this relationship and experience too. If you've never experienced that, you can have this relationship and experience too. And then you go tell everyone you see. You know, maybe we just have difficulty acknowledging that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that rolled that tombstone away from the grave, that it can actually move the stones that plague our lives, the burdens. Yeah, maybe for them, but I don't know about me. I've got a big sack of rocks that these things have plagued my life. It is the power of the resurrection that will dispel your darkness, enable you to be free from that burden, to live a resurrection filled with love, peace, and light, Spirit-empowered life. And the Lord Jesus, as mentioned already, he has approached you this morning through his word, through his promise, through his presence, conviction in hearts, empowerment in lives. He sees, he knows. He's loving you right now. He's calling your name. Believe in him and God's love and the death and resurrection of Jesus on your behalf. You have stepped into the light. Believe in him. He will never, ever leave you alone. He loves you. Jesus died for you. He rose again. He can raise you up. Before we pray, in closing, those who are familiar with the Covenant Home Altar, the devotional for April 1st, was by Theodore Anderson, he died in 1972. He was elected president of the Evangelical Covenant denomination in 1933 during the height of the Depression. And a portion of his devotional reads like this. It's very, very apropos for today. He says, only God's light and truth endure. He is not resigned, nor can anyone dethrone him. When we are in distress, we are assured that he knows, cares, and can guide us out of our tribulation. He goes on to say, in Genesis 1, we're told repeatedly that it was evening and morning on a certain day, you know, the days of creation. We naturally think of day as beginning in the morning, But in God's economy, however, light succeeds the darkness. His day never ends in gloom. We are always traveling towards sunrise. Always. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. And let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I think our prayer lists are growing. But maybe that's a good thing. Forgive me for being too concerned about my own life and things. And then when crises hits, it's like, wow, kind of a wake-up call. But yes, those lists, the prayer lists, Lord, our lists for church family are numbering. People we're praying for. And others have their own lists. But we lift up those who are battling this COVID-19. We pray for Michael Butler, for Randy, for Crystalline, for Sammy and his wife, for Sandy Berkeley, we pray. And there are many others, Lord. There are those who are on the front lines, the essential workers, medical staff. We pray your protection. We pray your healing. We pray your encouragement and hope. May they find your presence so empowering. Fill them with faith, Lord. We're also praying for those who have lost loved ones. We pray for Linda Knox and her family, the passing of her husband, John. For all who grieve today, we pray. We've been praying for Becky and Joe Carr and Joey and Eric and Christopher. I heard encouraging news that they have a place now. You have provided a place for them. Thanks for looking out for them, Lord. Keep going before them and bless them today. Be with our shut-ins, Lord. Grace Dayton, Carolyn Stratman, Art and Claire Peel, Ed and Alice Nelson. Be with all who may feel isolated and lonely and fearful. Oh, your presence to abound, your light to shine upon them today. Heavenly Father, we pray in accordance with all that you are, hope and light and life. Our times are in your hands. May today be a turning point like never before, because your word is going out. It's going out to the world through the internet. And we pray, Lord, that for this, the end of this coronavirus, may it never come back. We know what the experts say. But in Jesus' name, be gone forever. Thank you, Lord, for the promises you give. We can pray in the authority of Jesus' name. Claim his blood to cover. We know there's power. So we pray that protection. And Lord, we pray for those searching spiritually. Those who do not know your love. They are so hard on themselves. They can hardly love themselves for whatever reason that is. Some that may not even be about them, or, you know, something that was done. You know, whatever it is, Lord, we pray for those who do not know your love. And, Lord, they do not know what you have done for them. You sacrificed your Son on the cross, whose resurrection we celebrate today. He is alive, and God's mercies are new every morning. So we pray for those who are searching, those who are hurting, those who are broken, those who are overwhelmed. Lord, we pray that they will believe in you and your love, the sacrifice of your Son Jesus on their behalf, for the forgiveness, for the mercy, for grace. And oh, that all of us might believe and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even right now, fill us, Lord, and draw those who are hurting. Draw them to your altar now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now we can join together in the affirmation of our faith, which for those of you listening at home comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 35 and 30 through 39. And for those of us here, if you would join in. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword?
No, in all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We're so thankful for all those who continue to offer sacrificial gifts and are helping people in need and sending in their tithes and offerings and the online giving. There are many, many needs of people right all around us, wherever you are listening today. You know, our neighbors are in need. There are people, everybody's in a tight spot. But let us bring our gifts to the Lord as we can, as you are able, and bring our offerings to God, and certainly utilize your treasure, your testimony, your story, to keep spreading God's love. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for how generous you are. You give and you give and you give. Yes, these are hard times, but we just pray that you would continue to resource your mission, Lord, all over the world. It's amazing what technology has done. The mission of your love through Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we thank you in advance for all the many blessings that will happen, for how you continue to resource even us here at the corner of Clay and Grove Streets. And just thank you so much for all the good stewards, all those who are sacrificial and generous as they are able. Bless them as they give their gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Charge and the benediction. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to what is good. Do not return evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Guard the dignity of all people. Love and serve the Lord. rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. May God fill you with joy and peace. Live by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, who is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.